Good evening, good evening, good evening, good chodesh. I had a machshava that the mafoshim are busy trying to, many approaches in achronim. Why is it that on Shavuos we go through Megillas Rus? Various explanations. Most famously, that what the Medrash says that it's all about Chesed. Nomi was Chesed, Rus was Chesed, Boaz was Chesed, and Torah is based on Chesed, and therefore we learn the Gilas Rus because it represents Chesed, and Torah has to come with Chesed. If it's Torah is not integrated with Chesed, then there's no point. That's maybe the most famous pshat. Another pshat is that it happened. The whole episode happened on Shavuos. The whole episode happened on Shavuos. Maybe another pshat, but I want to suggest another pshat why we lane, because the question is exactly a good question. Why do we lane Megillas Rus on Shavuos? It could be that pshat is even more simple than that. I think that pshat, why we lane Megillas Rus on Shavuos, is based on the very end of the Megillah. We see the Yichus from going down from Rus, son, grandson Yishai, great grandson David Amelech, great grandson Shlomo Amelech. Rus was the great grandmother of the Malchus of the kingdom of Malchus based David. She was the great grandmother. She was the mother of Malchus of the kingdom of royalty. She was the mother of royalty. And if we think about her background, she came from the most humble background. She was a Geiris, as the Gemara says, as the Pasuk says, really. And she came from a most modest background in terms of, she was from a rich, very rich and wealthy background, financially, but from the Torah mitzvah perspective, she came from nothing. And would have maybe assumed and presumed wrongly that Torah always has to come with a background of some sort of, with a solid background. Would have thought that it's strong, solid background that breeds royalty. But it's not true. We see that despite, or maybe because of her background, she was still able to. She came from such a humble background. She had nothing. Everything was wrong. Everything went wrong that could have gone wrong, and yet she pushed herself to the front. She pushed herself to Yodig and mitzvahs all the way that she became the grandmother of the Malchus. The Gemara says that the crown of Torah is Muneches Bekeren Zovis, that the crown of Torah is hanging in the corner, whoever wants to get the crown of the Torah, it's just lying, on the corner, you can just grab it. There's nothing stopping you. Whoever wants to achieve Torah, whoever wants to achieve mitzvahs, it doesn't go with mishpachology, it doesn't come with if you want to get anywhere in Torah, you want to get any mitzvahs, there's no... It's just about working. It's just about putting your kichs into it and working and striving for steiging and for aliyah in ruchnias. There's nothing. Nobody's got presumed success and presumed failure. It's about grabbing the opportunities around us and steiging. Hence, that's probably the most important yisoid that we can get by Kabbalah Satorah and Shavuos. We get the Torah. Shavuos is Yom Kabbalah Satorah, Yom Matan Torah Seinu. And then we want to know, who are we? What's the background? What background have I got? I can't get it. I can't do it. I'm not going to get it. So the answer is no. Look at Rus. Rus became the mother of Malchus Beis David. Rus became the grandmother of Malchus Beis David. What can be greater than that? And she, despite her very, very challenged background, she still managed to put it off. I think that's probably the most important story that we see from Megillas Rus. Okay, we're going to be learning a Ramah today, which is extremely relevant with those of us who wear glasses. Ever happened that glass broke on Shabbos? Yeah, ever happened. And also relevant to those of us who have got buggies. Ever happened that a wheel came off and you've got a buggy with three instead of four wheels? We'll talk about this because this has got to do with the Ramah we're going to be seeing right now. Shulchan Aruch says, Kiro Shenish Meto, if you've got a stov, I'm in the middle of one page 214. I'm in third line of the Siv Tezayin. So we up to the words Kira Stov Shenish Meto Afilo Achas Me'ak Yisrael. One of the leg came off of this stov. This is kind of Kira, and it's got normally a few legs, and one of them came off. Achas Me'ak Yisrael, legs came off. Also Letalto, it becomes Mukta now. I'm going to carry on just over the full picture. V'chein Safsel Simon, also a bench. Oroich, a long bench. Shenish mat achas me'ogleo, one of the legs of the bench came off. Kolshken Shtaim, even more so, if one of the, if two of the legs of the bench came off, no, also letalter, the old bench becomes also now. One leg comes off, or two legs of this bench comes off, it breaks off on Shabbos, it becomes muktzah, the whole thing becomes muktzah. Also letalter, anichol safsel acheres v'leishiv aleo. He becomes muktzah, even if you have a way of placing that bench board, you're placing it supported by something else, and you could still sit on it. Nevertheless, it's also, it's muktzah, you're not allowed to sit on it. Even if it breaks before Shabbos, Ellen Kane, unless you made a makeshift, you placed it somehow that it was positioned and placed solidly before Shabbos, then you can continue using it like this on Shabbos. But if the legs came off either before Shabbos or on Shabbos, and it's like not in a proper place, you're not allowed to put it now in a different place that you can sit on it. It becomes muktzah altogether if one leg or two legs came off. You're not allowed to put a remaining leg back, to put it back into the bench on Shabbos, and certainly also because of binyan. Okay, we're learning now the alocha that it is muktzah. If a bench has a leg that comes off, the whole bench becomes muktzah. Sifkot Samechesi Mishnebu, first word line tells us, Achas Miyakoyseo, for who can reglaim, this is one of the legs, but time the reason is, the Gazinon, we are going to respect Shem Yiska Regal, Lashom, Pechoizek Lechabro. Maybe you're going to, perhaps you're going to put it back on and you're going to stick it on firmly, and therefore we are Choshesh, and it's also, Vichayim Shemakim Bepatish. So, Oy Mishum Binyan. So, we're learning of it as a separate Gzeri. Yes, it's true, it's Muktzah. But beyond that is of Muktzah, there's something else as well. When you have something that comes off, a leg that comes off, Chachomim were concerned, never mind Muktzah, there's another problem as well. There's a very serious Chashash that maybe you're going to put it back on Shabbos. And therefore, since it's easy to understand, it's natural to try to fix a broken leg on Shabbos, it's natural. Therefore, Chachomim said, don't touch it. It's Muktzah, and there's an Issa of putting it back on Shabbos. This is a Gzerah. Gzerah Hashem Yisko. Gzerah, perhaps you're going to put it back on. Now, the poskim, the achronim, take this a bit further. They said it is not only with regards to a stove, and it's not only with regards to a bench. It's anything that has something that comes off that naturally a person would tend to fix himself. And a good example for that would be glasses. Do you think that the glasses, which has one of its arms coming off on Shabbos, all it needs is a bit of a screw to, like, a little bit, put it back on. Do you think that it is comparable or not comparable to that? Do you feel that just as a leg of a bench that comes off becomes muktzah and becomes also to even sit on the remains of the bench, would you say that it's comparable also to the arm of the glasses that comes off? That now, not only you can't put it back, but in fact, just like the bench is also to sit on, similarly also, the glasses, which is still the actual glasses, the frame of the glasses, should be also to be used on Shabbos. Yeah.
Real need if he can't see virtually at all without them, and I seem to remember, but I can't remember exactly what Rabbi Fork of Gateshead says in his 6-volume or 7-volume set, that something is permitted in case of great need
of great need
fixing something to glasses.
Okay,
I can't remember what
okay said. Okay. Any other opinions on that? Yes. Okay. What would happen in this case of here, of the bench, if the leg is gone lost? Would you be allowed to sit on the, would you be allowed to, or it's broken off in a piece that you can't put it back on? Would you say that it's mutter also to sit on the remains of the bench? Yeah, it is. I do not know what Rafalk Psak is referring to. I do not know. What I do know is that Shlomo Zalman speaks about the glasses and he asks it. And he says, just like, there is an issa of sitting on a bench once the leg has come off. Similarly, also you're not to use the glasses once its arm has come off, because of Gzeirah Shema Yiskah that we see now. It's also to use the glasses once it's come off, because a person naturally, she can hear the Yetzer. She's going to wear glasses, but I know what it's like. You just feel like just putting it back on, and therefore Reb Shlomo Zalman asks it. The shaila is if that is comparable also with regards to a broom. A broom is normally made out of two parts. You've got a broom stick, and then you've got the brush. So imagine I have a broom like this, or rather I had a broom like this, that it kept on coming off. The stick kept on coming off. The question is as follows. If it comes off, say even before Shabbos, but it can still just use the brush. What would you say with regards to using the brush on Shabbos? Also, absolutely. The halacha is that it is also to use such a brush on Shabbos, the kule alma, because gzeira shem iska, because you tend, although the brush you could use in its own, as a unit on its own, but yet, this is too close, chashash, no, maybe you're going to just stick it back on and screw it back on together. Tevachomim asked it, according to the poskim, and they say, gzeira shem iska applies, and it's also to use it on Shabbos. And that maybe leads to the last shaila about this, which maybe is worth mentioning, which is the widely quoted Reb Shlomo Zalman, which is maybe not so common in England, but certainly very common in Eretz Yisrael, of the buggy. So say you are in a place where you can, where you carry, and you push a buggy on Shabbos, okay? Whether it is somebody semich on the Eruv over here, or somebody semich on the Eruv in Yerushalayim, whoever it may be, and you've got a buggy and the wheel comes off, either on Shabbos or before Shabbos. And the question is, you can still manage to push the buggy like this. You certainly can't get hold of another buggy at this stage. And you can push the buggy like this. You can manage with three wheels. Would you be able to use the buggy like this? Yes or no? No. And I'm telling you that's a big chiddush, because I don't know how many people are aware of this. But yes, indeed, according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, this is also, you're not allowed to push a buggy of three wheels. Even if the fourth wheel is lost, or the fourth wheel is broken in a way they cannot attach it anymore. Whatever it is, the halacha is, because this is a gzeira of Shema Yiska, that's something that you would naturally have a chashash of putting it back on and screwing it back on. And it's beyond mukta, it's a gzeira Shema Yiska.
Are all these cases, also, even if you
have
them, it's really been like a week like this already?
Yes, it makes no difference. Yeah. Yes, even if for the last 2 months you've been walking around with glasses with one arm, still it's going to be also wearing on Shabbos. Good point. Loi plug. With this, we are ready for see if you design. Leveinim is talking about bricks. And I wonder what you think about contemporary bricks. But Leveinim is talking about bricks. Bricks, somebody made an extension, building works, and there is some bricks lying in the front garden. Spare bricks. Are they mukta or not? What would you say instinctively? Bricks.
If they didn't.
You want to sit on it now?
Mukta.
You can't sit on it.
Yeah, if it's like a whole brick.
Whole. If it's piled 16 bricks.
Yeah, but
spares.
If it's on a skip.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Mukta or no mukta?
Mukta.
Mukta.
You can sit on it.
Oh, very nice. Shulchan Aruch Seif Yudzayin. Levenim Shenishu Mebinyan Mutar Lataltanam. If you've got remains, leftovers, bricks, which are left over from building, they're allowed to carry them. They're not Mukta. The Me'atul Eikai Melebinyan, because they are now not designated anymore for building purpose. Elele Mizga Perish Lismach Balashevis Alein Aleu. Now, they are just lying outside because you're not going to use them anymore for building, and therefore you're not going to use them for building anymore. They're not, and therefore, since you're not going to use them for building, why are they there? For sitting on, for leaning on. Okay, if they're not designated for building, for sitting on, leaning on, so therefore you put out, it's not mukta. Vim sit on zalze, and certainly if they were placed, but if they were placed on the side, you kept it in the garage, and you're putting it zalze in a you place them, you you lined them up, you made a structure out of them, which clearly indicates you want to use them for another building, when it's going to be the right time, you're going to use them for another building project, then it's going to be also the Goli Daita Shikton Levinyon, because then it's designated. You have shown that you're going to use them for building again, we also tell them that they're mukta. But if they're just lying outside, you put them outside in front, you made like a kind of pile of them, it's obviously you're not going to use them for building anymore, they're lying outside, you can sit on it, it's not mukta. Yeah, does that make sense?
Why should you be able to live there?
Because it's not mukta.
They're
not mukta anymore. They have been designated for sitting on. It's not mukta. It's like part of a bench. Yeah, but here, because it's not anymore designated for building, so, and it's just designated for sitting on, so it's like a regular chair. It's now been...
It says you can move them.
Yes, because it's like a chair. Like a chair, you're allowed to move those as well. It's become a chair now.
But what happens if you change your mind after?
Yeah, then it's going to be mukta then.
After.
Yeah, it will become mukta then again, if you decide to change your mind.
Most times, if you've got a brick which is still in good condition, you will use it.
Oh, very good. And that leads, very nice, Shaila. That will lead to Rav Ozner's discussion. Rav Ozner wants to say, what about nowadays? He said, that's true with regards to what Sifu Zayin was true in those days. But Rav Ozner in Shevet Alevi says, one second here. Nowadays, people don't sit on bricks. That's pretty much your point. People don't sit on bricks anymore. It's not because it doesn't become a bench just by...
They sit on a brick wall.
Yeah. Yeah, but if it's just bricks lying around, they will always be used again for building purpose. They're not going to be, it's unlikely to just say, since it's not being built, used for building, so it's probably just going to be for sitting on it. It doesn't become a bench and a chair. Just so Rav Ozner Taka wants to ask her, and he said that nowadays, bricks are also become remain mukta.
Why have you never been different from rocks or a bottle?
Say that again? Because then people sit on it. Yeah. Spare bricks, you'd sit on it. Yeah, see if you'd chas. Koit shemunach b'rishus rabim. You've got a thorn, a sharp thorn, which is lying in public domain in rishus rabim. Mutar l'talteloi, you're allowed to carry it and move it around. A thorn. Rishus rabim, yes. No Eruv, Mutar l'talteloi, pochs with Dalat Amas, you're allowed to move it less than Dalat Amas. In a place where there's no Eruv, pochs with Dalat Amas, less than Dalat Amas. Uve Karmelis, Mutar l'talteloi, ledya. And if it's in a Karmelis, even beyond the 4 Amas, you're allowed to carry it. Techashinon, Shemayisku, Barabi, because we are concerned that perhaps people are going to hurt themselves in it. Uve Mokam Ezekid Rabim, and in a place where there's a concern that the public is going to get hurt or damaged. Loi gozer abonon shvus in a place b'mokoyim hezeke the rabbi in a place where there is a concern that the public is going to get hurt. Loi gozer berabonon chachamim would not make an issa abonon there. It is removed. The issa of koitz is taken away because of the potential danger for the public. Yes.
Nowadays it can sometimes happen that when you're crossing the road.
Yeah.
Near the curb, a bolt, like that's come off the wheel of a lorry or something, or a car. If a car goes over that, it's going to go into it and ruin the tire and give it a puncture. Many of the people are Yidden that live around here. If one comes across that when one crosses the road on Shabbos, can one either kick it normally or with the shinoi to the really edge of the road, or pick it up and move it to the edge of the pavement?
That's a good question. If you, Rabbi, say, what do you think about this? If there is something sharp on the road, on the A41 as you're passing. Pardon? Okay.
Someone go over that. Coming back from the shore, then you get a punch.
Okay, so... Why does it have to be a yid to push it away?
Surely anybody could move it. So you would assume that as a non-Jew, he would move it possibly.
Yeah. The answer to your question is that it is, in this particular case, it's also, because when we're talking about Hezekiah the Rabbi over here, we're talking about a chashash that somebody will get hurt. It's beyond slight financial damage. We're talking about over here sharp item which could cholila cause somebody to hurt himself tremendously. Whilst a tire would be a damage, but first of all, it's a financial damage, and therefore, and I don't think Chachomim would be matir that. Also, when we talk about Rabbim, it's true to state as well. Then we talk about Ezekiel the Rabbim, we are talking clearly about Yiddish Rabbim, we're talking about a public of majority of Yidden. Whilst we obviously don't want to, we don't want any goyim to get hurt either, but in order to be oivon, it's a muktzah. I believe you are probably talking about, I believe that we're talking about a rabbim of Yidden over here, not to get hurt. But that's something to look into. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah over here says, what are you meant to do exactly? In Sifkot 9 Vav, bottom line says, Pochas, Archis Alkinulish, Tzadrish Rabbim, you should push it on the side of Rishus Rabbim, push that sharp item on the side of the Rishus Rabbim, don't have to move it or take it all the way home, just push it to the side. Mokim Shen Dosim Barabim, Mashmah Mokan Avrom, Dafkim Loyoyo, Akoyt Munach Shomer of Shabbos, it is only if the sharp item only ended up there on Shabbos, but if it was there from before Shabbos already, Tim Loyo Yekain, Oyles Alkim Erev Shabbos, if it was there already from before Shabbos, and people haven't bothered taking it away, now on Shabbos you're going to be bothered? If it was there from before Shabbos, so by all means, you can wait for Motzei Shabbos. If it ended up there on Shabbos, that's when you have to remove it. But if it was there before Shabbos and nobody bothered, now on Shabbos you're going to start taking it away. That's wrong. Doesn't sound right. But even there is Mekilim, and the Rabbi says that even if it was there before Shabbos, you can still move it away. That's Machlokes Achronim. Yeah, what exactly is defined the rabbi? What's considered a great public? That is, it remains a bit of a discussion if it's 3 or 10 people. But I suppose when it's a substantial amount of people walking past, that would be considered a rishus rabbi, which you're allowed to move it. And finally, see if you test sulam shel aliyos shogol mosu latiach boigago. If you've got a ladder, actually, we'll see if you test. We'll leave for tomorrow, Bezer Hashem. To recap what we covered tonight, we spoke about the gzeir of Shem Yiskor. That if there is a leg that comes off a bench, you're not allowed to push it back, and similarly, you're not allowed to use the bench because of Gzeiros Shemiyiskor. We spoke about bricks, which are mutter, spare bricks are mutter, according to Shulchan Aruch, because they're not anymore designated for building. If they are kept aside and it looks like they are being used for future building works, then they are muktzah. Again, Avosen says that this doesn't apply today. If we spoke about sharp items, the Rishus Rabbim, you're allowed to move them. Pochs medalat ames, they are yamuta letalteloi, because of public danger. If it was there before Shabbos and people haven't bothered till now, it's a machlokes achronim as to whether you're allowed to move them now. Good evening, Abosai.